The rest of us could open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went, and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." I want you to notice what Rahab, this harlot, this heathen woman is saying in verse 11. She's acknowledging that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the true God. She said, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for a house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." Verse 17, "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Why don't we stop right here and pray and seek God's face? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help me now as I preach this message about Rahab the harlot and her scarlet thread that she hung out the window. I pray you'd help me to make the necessary application. And we pray in particular for anybody that's not saved that they would get this application and realize they need to trust Christ if they want to be saved. They have to believe in the true God of heaven like Rahab did if they want to be saved. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me to preach. May the Spirit of God speak to hearts. So I pray now for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the enabling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for conviction of the Holy Spirit for anybody here today that's not saved. For God's people, well, we pray for a great blessing today. Oh, Lord, we pray again, once again, open up the windows of heaven and pour out a great blessing upon thy people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Looking at a very familiar story, the story of Rahab the harlot. I didn't read the whole story. If you go with me to chapter 6, we see the conclusion of it. Chapter 6, look at verse 17. Joshua 6, 17. Joshua came to Jericho. He and his men conquered Jericho. Look at Joshua 6:17. The city shall be accursed. God put a curse on Jericho, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Now watch this. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. The spies promised her that she would be delivered from destruction, and Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in a house, the whole family, they were all saved. Because she hid the messages that we sent. Verse number 21. Got to verse 21. To save time, we'll drop down to verse 21. Chapter 6, verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. The whole city of Jericho was destroyed except for Rahab's house. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman, that's talking about Rahab, and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought her out, all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Now, verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. She married an Israelite. She trusted the God of Israel, and she married an Israelite man. I'll say more about that in a minute. And she dwelt there even to this day, it says, because she hid the messages which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. In my opinion, one of the most interesting characters in the Bible is this Rahab the harlot, a very fascinating character. In addition to the story we just read here in the book of Joshua, Rahab is referred to several times in the New Testament. For example, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, we're told that Rahab married an Israelite. She married a man named Salmon, and he was an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. Now, what's interesting about that is that Rahab was the mother of Boaz. Does that name sound familiar? It should. Boaz married Ruth, the Moabitess. So therefore, you know, Ruth, the Moabitess, is the great-grandfather. I mean, Boaz is the great-grandfather of King David. You know what that means? Rahab the harlot is in the line of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that now. Here was a pagan woman, a harlot, and yet she is in the genealogy of our Lord. Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of King David, and therefore in the genealogy of Christ. Rahab is also referred to in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. The Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Notice, she was saved by her faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. The others all perished, but Rahab and her family perished not because of her faith. First, how about this? James 2:25. James 2.25 says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messages and had sent them out another way? Now, what does that mean to say by works? It means the works were evidence of her faith. You see? Look at Joshua 2, verse 9. Joshua 2, verse 9. And she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. In other words, she heard all these wonderful stories about the true God of Israel, and she put her faith in the true God of Israel. Verse 11, I read it before, I'll read it again. She said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. It's by faith that Rahab was saved. You say, what about that verse you just read from James where it says she was saved by, justified by her works when she received the messengers? Well, that was the evidence of her faith. If you understand James chapter 2, that's what the chapter is talking about, that faith without works is dead. If you've got genuine faith, there will be some genuine works too. That's the evidence. Now, Rahab lived in the doomed city of Jericho. When I say doomed, it was cursed by God. God had marked it out for destruction. And that's where she lived. And she was a heathen. She was an idolater. She was a harlot. But she acted upon faith. And therefore she was spared the judgment of God when Joshua and his army destroyed Jericho. You know, many, many years ago, there was a great preacher in Texas, W.A. Criswell. He's in heaven now. And he preached a message entitled, The Scarlet Thread of Redemption. And Dr. Criswell referred to the scarlet colored, by the way, why scarlet colored? It's the color of blood. It symbolized the blood of Christ. And he referred to the scarlet colored thread that Rahab hung out her window in Jericho. And by the way, it's a cord. We say a thread, we think of a thread like you're going to sew a button on your shirt. It wasn't a little thin thread like that. It was a cord. For example, if you look at verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15, then she let them down by a cord, like a rope. That's what it was. Now, he said, and I'll quote, the scarlet line of Rahab is a symbol of her faith that God will provide deliverance in the time of judgment. Throughout the Bible, scarlet speaks of sacrifice made on the behalf of the believer. In that sermon, Dr. Criswell traced, and it is a fascinating subject if you want to look into this, but he traced this scarlet thread back to the Garden of Eden, and then he traced it all the way through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through the book of Revelation. You can trace this scarlet thread of redemption all the way through the Word of God. For example, go back to the Garden of Eden. God himself killed an animal. And then God clothed Adam and Eve with the animal skin. So to clothe Adam and Eve with animal skins, guess what? Blood had to be shed. An animal had to die. And that's how God clothed Adam and Eve. Next, what do you see in the book of Genesis? Abel. Abel's offering in Genesis 4. And you look at Abraham's offering that God approved of and Cain's offering God did not approve of. And you'll see that scarlet thread all the way to the Bible, all the way through to get to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5:9, that was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 7:14 says, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lamb 26 times in the book of Revelation. Ever think about that? Why is the Lord Jesus referred to as the Lamb so many times? Because he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Bible teaches there can be no forgiveness of sins apart from the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. In other words, there's no forgiveness of sins apart from the blood of Christ. Leviticus 17:11 says, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." The story of the Passover, by the way, I was going to speak more about the Passover, Lord willing, this evening. But the story of the Passover is given in Exodus chapter 12. And the New Testament refers to Christ as our Passover Lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." That's just a little bit about that scarlet thread. Much more can be said, but time won't allow. The scarlet line, that scarlet cord, that scarlet thread, if you will, that Rahab hung out her window was a symbol of her faith that God would deliver her, not just her, but her entire family in the time of judgment. In fact, if you look at Joshua 2:12, she says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house." Watch this. "And give me a true token." That word token means give me a sign. Give me a sign that I will be delivered. Give me a sign that when you destroy Jericho, you save me and my family. You know what the sign was? Hang that scarlet thread out the window. That would be the token. That would be the sign. So when the army comes and we see that scarlet thread, you're going to be spared. You're going to be delivered. You're not going to be destroyed. That was the token. That was the sign. Now, I got a very simple outline this morning for those who like outlines. First, the scarlet thread was divinely appointed. God's the one who put that together there. God's the one who told him to do that. It was divinely appointed. Secondly, the scarlet thread was abundantly sufficient, not only for Rahab, but for a whole family. So the scarlet thread was divinely appointed. It was abundantly sufficient. And thirdly, it was clearly seen. It was clearly seen. So when the Israelites came in, they can clearly see that scarlet line, and Rahab was safe. First, let's look at this first point. The scarlet thread was divinely appointed. Now, there were certain facts that Rahab had to believe in order to be saved. Certain things she had to believe. But by the way, there are certain things you have to believe if you want to be saved. You say, "What do I got to believe?" Well, you got to believe you're a sinner. You got to believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You got to believe that the only way to get to heaven is through faith in Christ. You got to believe that if you don't believe in Christ, you're going to go to hell. There's certain things you got to believe if you want to be saved. That's just the way it is. That's what the Bible teaches. There's certain things you have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. That Jesus Christ died to save your soul. You got to believe that. You got to believe He's the only way to heaven. Some people tell me, "Well, I believe that He's one of the ways to heaven, but there's the Buddhist way." Listen, I just came from Cambodia. I saw the Buddhist way. That's the wrong way. I'll tell you right now. I mentioned in Sunday school, every time you turn around, there's some ugly demon looking at you. They got demons everywhere. I'm not kidding. Cobras and ugly looking elephants and weird looking gods and Buddhas and stuff everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. I never saw so many idols in my life. That's not the right way. That's the devil's way. There's only one way to get to heaven. That's through faith in Christ. You better believe that. You say, "Well, you're being kind of narrow-minded." I'm just going by the Bible. Jesus said, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me." You got to believe that if you want to be saved. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already." So you got to believe that. So there's certain things you have to believe. There's certain things Rahab had to believe in order to be saved. First of all, she had to believe that the God of Israel was the true God. If she would have told the two spies, "Well, you know, I'll help you fellows out, but I believe the God of Jericho is the true God." You know what? She would have perished. Yeah, when they would have came and destroyed Jericho, they would have killed Rahab and her father and her mother and her brother and her sister and all the kids and uncles and aunts. Oh, they would have died! If she would have said, "Oh, don't be so narrow-minded. I think the God of Jericho." Well, she would have said the gods of Jericho, because they had many gods. They were idol worshippers. But she didn't say that. No, you know what she said? Verse 11. "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." See, so she acknowledged the God of the Israelites was the true God. You know, and some people say you can't talk like that now. They say, you know, that's not politically correct, you know. They say, you know, you're too narrow-minded. You've got to be multicultural, and you have to accept all religions. Look, we got to be friendly with everybody. We be polite with everybody. We got to be gracious to everybody. But we got to be firm. The Bible's clear. The only way that you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Listen, I'm not trying to be unkind. I like everybody. I have neighbors that believe in different religions. I get along with everybody. But listen, we got to be firm. Listen, there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way. That scarlet line of redemption. Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who rose from the dead. He's the only one that's coming back. Amen? Hey, look, I just came from Cambodia. I got news for you. Buddha's not coming back. Amen? Buddha's still in the grave. He's going to stay there. That big fat Buddha's going to stay there in the grave. He's not coming back. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen? That's right. So you have to believe certain things. Now, she had to believe that the God of Israel was the only God, the only true God who could save her. Secondly, Rahab had to believe that God would soon destroy Jericho and everyone in it. They're all going to be just wiped out. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She said, I know that. And she knew that God had given that land to the Israelites. I know God gave you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. She heard how God parted the Red Sea and delivered the Israelites from Egypt. She heard that. She said, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. She acknowledged the power of the true God of Israel, you see. So there's certain things she had to believe. And there's certain things you got to believe. You got to believe that God is going to destroy this wicked world. Do you believe that? My Bible teaches that. You better believe it. The Lord's coming back. You better believe he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You better believe that hell is real. Amen? You better believe that. Certain things you got to believe. Rahab had to believe that only God could deliver her from the impending judgment. She had to believe that. Verse 13. Look at verse 13. And that you'll save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters. Listen, she wanted a whole family to get saved. Do you want your whole family to get saved? Are you concerned about your family? I hope you are. I hope you're not one of those people, well, I'm saved. If the rest of them go to hell, what are you going to do about that? No, that shouldn't be your attitude. You should be praying fervently for your loved ones. You should be pleading with them. Come to Christ. Get right with God. Why don't you come to church and listen to some preaching? Why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you repent of your sins? Why don't you trust Jesus Christ? I don't want you to go to hell. Rahab didn't want her family to be destroyed. Look here at verse number 13. That you'll save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. So let me make an application. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming to this wicked, wicked world, this sinful world. Listen, if you read the newspapers and you know what's going on and you don't believe judgment's coming, you don't know the Bible very well. I'll tell you right now, judgment is coming. The prophet Isaiah said men are going to go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth and for fear of the Lord when the Lord ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah 2:19. Isaiah 2:19 says the Lord's going to shake the earth. Imagine that. I mean, he's going to take it. He's going to shake it up and shake it up. God can do that. That's right. He's going to do that. The book of Revelation says men are going to hide themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains. And then they're going to say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Can you imagine men begging the rocks and the mountains to fall on them? Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who indeed shall be able to stand when the Lord comes back in judgment? By the way, that's Revelation 6, verse 15 and 17. The hymn writer put it this way, judgment is coming, all will be there. Who have rejected and who have refused? Oh, sinner, hasten. Let Jesus in. Then he will pass he will pass over you. Look, God passed over Rahab. Passed over Rahab's house. He saw that scarlet thread hanging out, and he passed over. And she was spared. You better make sure you're in Christ. Then when the judgment of God comes, you'll be spared. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to perish. Beloved, God has only one appointed way of deliverance. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the only door, by the way. Again, I know I've heard different theories. I heard people say, well, you know, Pastor Barker, there's many doors, you know. Yeah, but they're the wrong doors. Amen. You go in that door and you go, oh, you'll fall right in hell. That's right. You see? You go through the wrong door. There's only one door to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The only door. I know you got the Hindu door and you got the Jehovah's Witness door and the Mormon door and the Roman Catholic door. I'm familiar in Sunday school. We heard about that prosperity door. I wouldn't want to go to that door. It sounds pretty bad. And there's a lot of doors. Let me tell you something. There's only one door to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. You got to make sure you're going through the right door. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. He said, there's neither is there salvation in any other. There's not salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men. So when people say, you know, I was told that there's many roads to heaven. Someone said, you know, going to heaven is like going to the post office. You know, you can go down this street here at Elmont Road, or you can go up Hempstead Turnpike. Or you can go. Listen, when you leave this world, you're not going to the post office. Amen? You're either going to go to heaven or hell. You better make sure you're going the right way. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to wind up in a terrible place. A terrible place. The Bible talks about hell. You say, well, you know, I heard there's a place called purgatory. I heard about it too, but you know what? The Bible doesn't talk about that. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. The Bible talks about two destinations. It's either heaven or it's hell. That's it. That's it. You can forget about purgatory. You can forget about a second chance. You can forget about annihilation. You can forget about reincarnation. All these things were invented by men or inspired by the devil. Invented by the devil. Either way, they're not taught in the Bible. I'll tell you right now. Now, there's no other shelter. There's no other way of escape. And it took faith for Rahab to put that scarlet thread in the window. And that's what we see here in Joshua chapter 2, verse 18. Joshua 2, verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, there's when we come into Jericho, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Notice, those are very clear instructions. We have to do things God's way. She could have said, well, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. Hang a thread out the window. I mean, army's going to come in. How do I know I'm going to be okay just because I threw out the window? See, she could have doubted, but she had faith. Amen? She had faith, and she did as she was told, verse 19, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. They had to stay inside the house. They couldn't go out. If they went out, they said, it's too bad, but it's not our fault. They said, if they go out, a man goes out, his blood's going to be on his own head. And we'll be guiltless. But whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. If anything happens to one of your kinfolk, and they're in the house, we're to blame. But you know what? Nothing happened to them. They were safe. They stayed in the house. She hung the scarlet thread out the window, like she was told. And then you look at verse number 20. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. In other words, they had to keep this. Don't talk about it. They said, Don't talk about how you helped us out and everything's going to be okay. So Rahab could have disregarded these instructions, but she didn't, you see. That's why Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. She perished not. She was delivered. She was saved. She perished not. With them that believed not. You ever think about that? By faith, that's how she was saved. How were you saved? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? That's how I'm saved, by faith. I wasn't saved by my good works. If I'd be saved by my good works, I'd be lost forever. Amen? You know, people tell me, by the way, they tell me they're going to get to heaven by the good works. How many good works do you have to do to get to heaven? And if you could get to heaven by good works, why did Jesus die such a horrible death like that? Why did they put nails through his hands and his feet and crucify him like that if you can get to heaven by your good works? It's ridiculous to think you can get to heaven by your good works. When the Bible clearly says, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says you're saved by God's grace through faith. Anyway, the Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So she believed God, and she was saved. But them that believed not, they perished. You see that? She perished not because she believed. Those who perished did not believe. It's interesting. They heard the same stories about how God parted the Red Sea. They heard all these things, but they just didn't believe. But Rahab believed, and so she perished not. That is very important to understand here. Now, we see the scarlet thread was divinely appointed. Amen? Secondly, the scarlet thread was abundantly sufficient. Now, the scarlet thread might have been unnoticeable to many people. They didn't pay attention to it. They didn't give it any thought. But it was abundantly sufficient to save Rahab and her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, all her brethren, and all that she had. All her kindred were all saved because of that scarlet thread that she hung out the window. Go to chapter 6, please, and verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in. Notice they brought out Rahab. They got her out of the house. They brought her out. They said, we're going to destroy this whole place. We're going to get you out of here. They brought her out, and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, all her relatives, and they left them without the camp of Israel. So they got them safely outside before they destroyed Jericho. So when they attacked Jericho, Rahab was safe. They brought her out and her entire family. Beloved, verse 21, chapter 6, verse 21, says the city of Jericho was utterly destroyed. But yet we're also told in this chapter that Rahab and all her kinfolk, all her relatives, were delivered. I want you to think about that. Not only was Rahab the harlot delivered, but her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters, all her relatives, all her kindred were spared. They were delivered. They were saved. Just like God delivered Noah and his family. Remember that? God just didn't save Noah. He saved Mrs. Noah, too, and their three sons and their three daughters-in-law, you know? And just like God delivered Lot and his family, God delivered Rahab and her family. Verse number 23 says they brought them all safely outside. Let me stop for a moment and say this. God wants to save the whole family. Sometimes we forget about that, but I don't think we ought to forget about that. God wants to save the whole family. The Bible teaches that. Remember the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the best question, I think, in the Bible, by the way. You can't get a better question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How do I get to heaven? How do I have my sins forgiven? That's Acts 16:30. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Acts 6:31. So what they said to the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if your family believes, they'll be saved also. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to save the whole family. You know, the jailer could have just said, well, I just want to get saved. But no, he wanted to get the whole family saved. You see, now let's look at that. Acts 16. Keep your place in Joshua. We'll come right back. But look at Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. In verse 30, we have that wonderful question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, we have the wonderful answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So your family, if your family believes, they'll be saved too. Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Watch this now. Verse 32, and to all that were in his house. So Paul and Silas made sure that everybody in the house heard the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? I like when I go on visitation and the person says, come on in, Pastor. And then all the family members sit around and I can open up the word of God. Amen? That's a real blessing. I like it sometimes. Carl or maybe Brother Emerson or somebody or Victor, somebody go on visitation and they'll text me later on and say, we got several members of the household got saved tonight. Had a great visit. You know, the mom got saved, the kids got saved, the dad got saved. Isn't it a blessing if your whole family gets saved? Listen, God wants to save the whole family. Amen? So they all sat around and he heard the word of God. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Think about it. He's the one that gave them the stripes. He's the one that whipped them. You see that earlier in the chapter, how he's the one who gave them a whipping, and now he's cleaning up their stripes. And watch this. He was baptized. And by the way, the Bible says after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. People tell me, yeah, I've been saved for a while. How long have you been saved? Oh, I've been saved about 5 years. Really? When were you baptized? Oh, I wasn't baptized yet. Whoa, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. The Bible says after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. It's getting kind of quiet around here, isn't it? Listen, you're not saved by being baptized. You're saved by trusting in Christ. But after you get saved, you're supposed to be baptized. Some people tell me, well, I was baptized when? Before I got saved. Well, then it's not right. The biblical way is get baptized after you're saved. You see? So if you were baptized before you got saved, that was not biblical baptism. All you got was wet, really. You weren't baptized. You got wet, but you weren't baptized. Because if you get baptized, it's after you get saved. So if you're saved and you have not been baptized, you need to talk to me and say, Pastor, you know what? I need to get baptized. I'll be happy to baptize you. So look, the Philippian jailer was baptized. But watch this, though. Watch this. Verse 33. He and all his. What does that mean? His whole family got baptized. What does that tell you? They heard the word of God, they believed the word of God, they were saved, and they were baptized. God wanted to save the whole family. Notice, straight away, right away, that's the way to do it. Not like wait a couple of years, wait 5 years, you know, wait till you're ready to drop dead. Oh, by the way, I got to get baptized. Wait a minute. You should have got baptized when you got saved. Now, verse number 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. Hey, listen, when the whole family gets saved, that's a time for rejoicing. Amen? And believing in God. Watch this. Watch this, verse 34. Believing in God, what? With all his house. He believed in God with the whole household. The whole family got saved. Amen? God wanted to save the whole house. God wanted to save not just Rahab, but Rahab's mother, Rahab's father, Rahab's brothers, Rahab's sisters, and all the kinfolk, all the relatives, all got saved when God destroyed Jericho. What a blessing that is. Listen, Rahab was a harlot. Rahab is a picture of God's grace. Here's a heathen woman, an immoral woman, a prostitute, but God saved her, amen? And she's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the mother of Boaz who married Ruth. You think about that. Great-grandmother of King David. How's that for the grace of God? A harlot, a heathen, an idolater. But, beloved, God's grace was abundantly sufficient to save her. The scarlet thread was abundantly sufficient. You know, when I think about Rahab, I think of another immoral woman. She's mentioned in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I'm thinking of that scripture where it says in John 4:4 that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why did it say he must needs go through Samaria? Why did he have to go through Samaria? There are other ways to go. He could have taken a different route. Why did he have to go through Samaria? To save the woman at the well. A heathen, an immoral woman, a lot like Rahab. He had to go save her. You say, why do you say she's immoral? Well, Jesus said to her, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. So you've already had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now, you're not even married to him. You're shacked up with him. Huh? She was a woman of loose morals, just like Rahab. But guess what? God saved her.
And not only did the Lord save her, she became a good soul winner. You think about that. A preacher friend of mine told me he was in a church, and he said to the preacher, "You got some good members here. I'm really impressed with your church." You know what the preacher said? Some of them were drunkards. One of my Sunday school teachers was a prostitute. Some of them were drug addicts. I even have an ex-homosexual in my church. Think about that. What is that? The grace of God. Amen? That is the grace of God. God can change anyone. Anyone can be transformed by the grace of God. Don't forget, ever forget that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, such were some of you. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. One of my favorite passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Effeminate, by the way, is homosexuals. Nor abusers themselves of mankind. That's another term for homosexuals. Or to say now gay. I don't like to use the word gay, by the way. When I was a child, gay meant happy. Now it means perverted. They ruined that word. You know what they've also done? They ruined the rainbow. The Bible says God gave Noah the rainbow sign. And now they've co-opted that and taken it to mean perversion. Shame on them. But anyway, such were some of you, he says. Look at verse 11. Such were some of you. You were fornicators. You used to be idolaters. You used to be adulterers and homosexuals. So were you. But now you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Like Rahab, you've been cleaned up, forgiven, saved, transformed, regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? Like the woman at the well. Jesus said, you have had five husbands already. And now the man you're with now is not even your husband. The one you're living with now. John 4:18. But you know what? That woman at the well believed. She repented. And she ran back to the city and she said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She said, isn't he the Messiah? She believed. And she was gloriously saved. And John 4:39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Do you hear that? Many, many people in Samaria were saved. Many of the Samaritans were saved because of the testimony of the woman at the well. Think about that. What are you doing to get the gospel out? You say, well, preacher, I never went to Bible college. Well, neither did the woman at the well. You say, I didn't have too many advantages. You know, I come from a pretty rough background. What about the woman at the well? I mean, she had five husbands already. Now she's living with a man. What about her? What about Rahab? What about those people mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that were adulterers and effeminate and all these other wicked things they were doing? Let's stop making excuses and let's get the gospel out. Amen? Let's stop playing church. You got too many Christians playing church. I'll tell you right now. It's not right. It's not right. Beloved, we have here in the story of Rahab a picture of the wonderful grace of God. You know, the word grace is found 170 times in the Bible. Grace refers to divine favor bestowed on undeserving people. Like the Samaritan woman, Rahab was the undeserving sinner. She was a harlot. But grace, by the way, let me say this about grace, because, you know, the word grace is often misused. You know, I've heard the word grace misused. People justify just about any kind of loose living by, hey, we're under grace, you know. Hey, we're under the law, we're under grace. And they misuse grace. Let me tell you about grace. Grace not only pardons, and grace not only saves, but grace also transforms and teaches us. Quickly, go to Titus chapter 2. And I'm all for grace, and I preach grace, and I love to preach about people like Rahab that were saved by grace, and people like the Samaritan woman that was saved by grace, and I'm all for grace. But let's not be guilty of turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness like some people do. Look at Titus chapter 2, and please go to verse 11. For the grace of God, there you have it, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What does that mean, all men? I believe God wants to save all men. I believe that. Verse 12, teaching us that denying, who's teaching us? The grace of God's teaching us. You see that? The grace of God. that appear, that bring in salvation. He's teaching us. What is it teaching us? Well, here's what it's teaching us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, you think about this. If Rahab married an Israelite man, and she raised a fine son like Boaz, don't you think that she learned to deny ungodliness and worldly lust? Sure she did. She gave up her occupation as a harlot. She became a godly wife and mother, and she raised up Boaz as her son because she learned to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's not all. And looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, keep looking up. The Lord's coming back. The Lord is coming back. So grace pardons and saves, and grace transforms, and grace teaches. Rahab deserved to die with all of the other wicked people in Jericho, but Rahab trusted in God. Romans 5:17 refers to an abundance of grace, and that's what Rahab received, an abundance of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Quickly, my last point, the scarlet thread was clearly seen. The two Israelite spies agreed to save Rahab and her family if she agreed to distinguish her house from the others by hanging out the scarlet thread. Hang the scarlet thread out the window. That way, when the Israelites came into town, they'd see that scarlet thread and she would be safe. Now, remember, back in Egypt, God told the Israelites, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they told Rahab, when we see that scarlet line, we'll pass over you. Judgment is coming, Rahab, but you're going to be okay if you just hang that scarlet line out the window. She would be safe as long as that scarlet, the color of blood, line was out the window. Listen, there's so many lessons here. Her family had to stay in the house to be safe. Noah's family was safe as long as they were in the ark. Amen. And let me make another application. If you're in Christ, you are safe. If you're not in Christ, you're not safe. In fact, if you're not in Christ, you're in trouble. But if you're in Christ, you say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you're safe. The scarlet thread had to be clearly seen. Perhaps Rahab had her doubts. Perhaps she thought, what are my neighbors going to say? Perhaps she was wavered, but praise God, she acted in faith when she hung that scarlet thread out her window. She stepped out by faith. She trusted God. She hung that scarlet thread and she was delivered. Someone divided Rahab's story into three parts. And since we preach this like a three-part outline, I'll share it with you. We have Rahab's works, Rahab's faith, and Rahab's reward. Her works, that's evidence that she was saved, according to James 2:25. Her faith, she's mentioned with Moses and Abraham and the others in that great faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And then Rahab's reward, well, we know her reward. She and her family were spared when God destroyed Jericho. So we have her works, her faith, and her reward. And after she was rescued, Joshua pronounced a curse upon Jericho. Look at Joshua 6:25. Joshua 6:25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. And then go to verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and buildeth this city Jericho. He pronounced a curse on Jericho. Let me just say this. This world is cursed because it's rejected the gospel. Do you know that? This world is cursed. Listen, you turn on the television. If you hear Jesus' name mentioned, you know how it's mentioned? And taken in vain. As a curse word. That's the only time you hear Jesus' name mentioned in a derogatory way. This world has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and this world is under the curse of God. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan is the god of this world. That's right. Three times in the Gospel of John, Jesus referred to Satan as the prince of this world. This world is going to remain under God's curse until the Lord Jesus Christ returns and when he's recognized as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. He's a defeated foe. And just as God saved Rahab and her family, God will save any repentant sinner who calls upon him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's time for you to hang that scarlet cord out and call on the Lord and say, Lord, I can't save myself. Church can't save me. Good works can't save me. I need Jesus Christ to save me. And I got good news for you. He will save you. Amen.